Good morning. This is Frank Settapani with the CBS World News Roundup. An American in Paris asks if France will fight if that's the only way to force Iraq out of Kuwait. Rob Lever reports on James Baker's get-together with French officials.
The Secretary of State termed his meetings here in Paris positive and productive, but there was no clear statement that French troops would join in a possible military action against Iraq or that France would accept a UN resolution authorizing the use of force in the Gulf. Baker maintained, however, that the coalition remains solidly united.
I feel we have a very strong consensus on our collective aims and on the need, particularly, to resist partial solutions, on the need to work together and to stay together in this coalition, and on the need to make all of our options credible if we are to succeed.
Baker maintained that the steps taken in the last week turn up the pressure on Saddam Hussein. But after today's meetings, it's clear that he'll need more negotiations before a consensus can be reached on a military operation in the Gulf. Rob Lever for CBS News, Paris.
An Air Force spokesman in Frankfurt, Germany says three American hostages released by Iraq this week are in good physical shape. One of the three is Miles Hoffman, who was shot in the arm by Iraqi troops in Kuwait. Citing the UN trade embargo, Britain has rejected Iraq's offer to swap an impounded British Airways jet for aircraft engines and spare parts. Visiting Soviet President Gorbachev put out his hand today, but all he got from German officials was a handshake, despite warnings the Soviet Union may need emergency shipments of food and clothing this winter. CBS News correspondent Barry Peterson is traveling with Gorbachev.
It was Gorbachev's day to press the flesh, traveling with West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl to the small town of Speyer for a quick look at an old German cathedral and a chance to shake hands with a crowd that waited hours for a brief glimpse of the Soviet leader. The crowd was enthusiastic, chanting, applauding, especially when Gorbachev stopped to do what every politician does, kiss a baby. Still, there is a feeling in Germany that Moscow's problems are now secondary. Our first priority, said one German expert, is to rebuild what was East Germany, then help in Eastern Europe. Gorbachev's place in line comes after that. That is bad news for Gorbachev, who is counting on German business and German banks to spearhead an economic revival. And it will fuel criticism from within Gorbachev's own ranks that his strategy of using the West to save the Soviet Union was a good idea whose time may be passing. Barry Peterson, CBS News, Speyer, Germany.
Muslim militias began pulling out of Beirut today as part of a government plan to take control of the city and put an end to Lebanon's 15 years of civil war. The plan is supported by Syria, which has 40,000 troops in Lebanon. A dozen countries are represented at Cambodian peace talks taking place in Jakarta, Indonesia. Cambodia is not one of them. Rick Fredrickson, reporting from Bangkok, Thailand, has the latest on peace and war in Southeast Asia.
With diplomats continuing the search for peace in Cambodia, analysts here are wondering what the soldiers are planning for the war zone. At the moment, there is no significant action, but fighting is set to resume when the monsoon rains end in a few weeks. Some observers expect the rebel Cambodian factions, led by the Khmer Rouge, to go on the offensive to strengthen their negotiating position with battlefield gains. Government troops, with tanks and heavy artillery, have the dry season advantage and may try to retake areas seized by the guerrillas earlier this year. One Western diplomatic source sees no big looming offensive at the moment, but adds the Khmer Rouge are the ones to watch militarily. But for now, the focus remains on peace talks, and on that count, the diplomat says chances for an early settlement are guarded at best. Rick Fredrickson for CBS News, Bangkok.
A Thai airliner en route to Burma with 200 passengers aboard has been hijacked to Calcutta, India. A news agency in Bangkok received a statement saying the hijackers want Burma's military government to release all political prisoners and allow a civilian government to take control of the country. After an election campaign riddled with bullets, Guatemalans are about to begin casting ballots. Bill Gasparini is in Guatemala City.
There are 12 candidates for president in Sunday's elections, but only three are given any chance of winning. The candidates all say they want to improve Guatemala's economy, end a decades-old guerrilla insurgency, and stop human rights abuses. But dozens of people have been killed in the election campaign. Many of the killings are attributed to paramilitary death squads and ongoing political violence, which has long plagued Guatemala. Adding to the uncertainty are threats by a former military dictator who was prohibited from running for president by Guatemala's Supreme Court. Nonetheless, there are some signs of hope. One minor candidate has gained ground after he helped initiate peace talks with the guerrillas earlier this year. Some are predicting an upset victory for this candidate, Jorge Serrano, although a runoff election will have to be held in January if no one gets 50% of the vote. Bill Gasparini for CBS News, Guatemala City.
Federal prosecutors will have to break out the legal pads and rewrite the government's case against savings and loan tycoon Charles Keating and his co-defendants. John Goodman reports from CBS radio station KNX in Los Angeles.
Prosecutors in the Lincoln Savings and Loan Securities fraud case have been given until November 19th to file adequate charges against four defendants. The judges rule that 22 of the 42 grand jury counts are not specific, that they don't state a public offense, that they violate the defendant's due process rights. Based on the judge's remarks, defense attorney Abby Lowell doesn't believe the prosecution's attempt will be successful.
There's a lot of pressure on government agencies in this country to take as what they perceive the public wants, which is being tough on the savings and loan people that are alleged to have committed wrongdoing. And I think in this case, unfortunately, the district attorney cut too many corners.
Attorneys return to court December 3rd to see if the amended charges against Keating and three co-defendants meet constitutional muster. John Goodman for CBS News, Los Angeles.
The government claims the defendants misled investors about the safety of junk bonds. Many elderly people who bought the bonds lost their life savings. A spokesman for the fallen king of junk bonds disputes a new Los Angeles Times report about Michael Milken's financial fortune. The report says previous disclosures of payments Milken received from private partnerships were short by millions of dollars. Milken pleaded guilty last April to securities fraud and other charges. He's due to be sentenced next week. A federal judge in Miami is threatening to fine the cable news network for broadcasting tapes of phone calls between former Panamanian dictator Manuel Noriega and his defense team. The calls were recorded by prison officials. Defense lawyer John May says CNN's actions could deprive Noriega of a fair trial on drug trafficking charges.
The broad First Amendment protections that are given to the press does not include the right to broadcast the most important, confidential, sacred discussions between a lawyer and his client.
CNN is appealing the judge's order about playing the Noriega tapes. A cold front that marched through Georgia and Alabama spawned tornadoes in Orlando and other parts of north-central Florida. At least 10 people were hurt. One football coach was blown off a press box rooftop. A Pineapple Express rainstorm triggered floods and mudslides that forced some evacuations in northwestern Washington state. Lifelong socialist Chandra Shekhar has been sworn in as India's new prime minister. It's 10 after 7.